Avraham was crying when he told me that David was being deported after he was made to register. I was so worried about the future. Andrew was 10 months old. Avraham gave me new identification papers for Andrew and myself. Our last names were no longer Goldberger. Andrew now had a girl's name. Avraham gave me a necklace, a cross to wear around my neck at all times. I had taken on the identity of a widowed Christian woman with a baby girl. We were taken to a Christian home where Avraham had arranged for us to live. We were given a nice room in the house and were greeted and treated very warmly by the owner. Avraham knew this person, and he felt that we could live there in safety. He paid her a lot of money that David had given him to pay for our room and board. She had prepared girls' baby clothing for Andrew to wear. Andrew's hair was long and beautiful. It was imperative that Andrew be dressed as a girl in case we were ever stopped by the gendarme. They would check any suspicious boys for circumcisions. That year, I worked at the hospital where Andrew was born. The doctor who delivered Andrew took pity on us and was able to get me the job. I trusted him. I had nursing experience and was able to help him out. For this work, I was given some money to buy food, but more importantly, had access to medicine and milk for my baby. The doctor was fine with me bringing the baby to the hospital. Whenever I couldn't bring him along, I left Andrew with the lady at home. She treated him as if he was her own. Avraham did not come to see us, as he did not want to give us away to the authorities, should they be following him. I was able to see my sister once in a while. She helped me out with money to help me pay the owner of the house. Later in 1944, I no longer saw or heard from her or her son, Egon. In October 1944, the Arrow Cross takeover of Budapest took place. In fewer than 3 months, death squads killed as many as 38,000 Hungarian Jews. Arrow Cross officers helped Adolf Eichmann reactivate the deportation proceedings from which the Jews of Budapest had thus far been spared, sending some 80,000 Jews out of the city on slave labor details and many more straight to death camps. Virtually all Jewish males of conscription age were already serving in the Hungarian army's forced labor battalions. I was witness to many of these atrocities and scared for our lives. What if they found out we were hiding as non-Jews? I witnessed as Jews were loaded onto freight and cattle cars at the station. I heard their cries, but could not help. I witnessed as Jews were beaten up and murdered in the streets, but could not help. Every time I heard a knock at our door, I was afraid this would be the end. I kept busy knitting clothing for Andrew and mending and cooking for the lady in the house. One day, I was walking to work with Andrew in the stroller, taking our regular route. As we turned the corner a block away from the bridge, a friend called out from her kitchen window. She motioned with her hand that we should stop by for a short visit. She came out and we chatted for a while. Suddenly, we heard a loud noise and the ground shook. The bridge on which I would have been walking with Andrew was bombed and blown to pieces. Our lives were spared because this woman had called me.